Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends, and welcome to Monday night's edition of Raising Expectations. And you know that's your show. We try to bring things to you each week that are interesting, provocative, make you think about different things, and keep those not cards and letters, but emails coming to us so that we know the things that God's doing in your life. You kind of know about the family already, but just in case you don't, we're all born-again Christians, and we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to put it simply, we just believe God is who he says he is, and God's going to do what he says he's going to do. In fact, he proved it to us by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to pay the price for our sins. He was born that we might live. And we like to think of it this way, to simplify it, brings it down to the two questions that seem to be the most asked today. What am I doing here and where am I going when? And what we're doing here is we follow God. He's got a plan for all of our lives, a plan for each of your lives, like you've been sharing with me. And not only a plan for your life, but when that time comes to leave this life and go on to the next, he's got a purpose and a place for you in heaven. So we know where we're doing here. And we know where we're going when the time comes. So again, welcome to your show, Raising Expectations. And when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a plan that's going to make your expectations go up each and every day. You kind of know the team, but I always want to bring them to you each week because many of you are on for the first time as we follow the numbers. It's great to have you with us. We want to start on the West Coast, and that would be to my left. Actually, that's kind of where I am. And if we go down to the Santa Barbara area and we go to Lompoc, California, we have Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul here is a retired pastor and a theologian. He's a counselor. He's a teacher. Most of all, he's just about everybody's friend who has ever met this guy. We've been friends a long, long time. And so Paul is there in Southern California helping people just about everywhere. He's a wise man. He's a great friend. He's a brother in Christ. And about the best friend you're ever going to find. You doing okay, Paul?
Doing good. Thanks. Good to see y'all.
All right. Good to see you, brother. All right. And Paul and I are going to join hands. We're going to go all the way to the East Coast, actually the south part of the East Coast, which would be the South Coast part of the East Coast. And that is in Georgia. And that's Dalton, Georgia. And you're going to find there the Thayers. That would be Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. And they're right there in Dalton, Georgia. Now, Steph is on your left, and I'm going to ask you to go, like we do each week, to our website, and that is bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and there it is. As our engineer, we thank TJ every week for the wonderful job he does with us, and you'll find there that there's stories about each of our folks, and you get to follow what they're doing and who they are. And Stephanie, starting with Steph here, she has a great website. You're going to want to find that, Live Your Life Out Loud. And there's great things that she does. Steph has been a great health and wellness coach. She also is a great counselor with women across the nation. She is a friend to everybody. And Jesus kind of showed us the way to do that. He befriended everyone, and then he showed them and helped them to find the answers through his Father. She does the same thing. She helps them to find the answer through the Word of God, through how God works in their life. And it's knowing him and who he will is and what he will do in life that she just shares with everybody. You want to check out her page there. There's some of the things that she's doing. She puts great posts up. Even my daughter back in Ohio loves to read about the things that she puts up. So check it out. Her site. Again, Live Your Life Out Loud, and you're going to want to see that. And to her left is her husband. That's the guy she's done such a good job getting him in shape. That's Dr. Craig there. He's 6'5", and He loves that lady that's on his right. This is a wonderful, wonderful couple, somebody that you're going to want to get to know on this show. Craig Thayer is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon, a general surgeon, you name it. He just surges everywhere, anything he does. But he's also a surgical missionary. He goes over and they work together in the Caribbean, and he goes to Africa and helps people with surgery situations. And he's just a man who God uses to bring the love of God and the healing touch of God in a physical way where and when he's called to. And that's a great man of God to do that. We love this couple. They mean so much to us, as they do to you. And Paul and I pray for them and all of you each and every day. And if we come back this way from, by the way, before we go, on the website, you're going to want to find his book. His book is called Saved, as you can see, One Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life. And I love what he said, finding God in the ordinary. I'm so glad God works in the ordinary things of life. They're not all cataclysmic, miracle-moving things. Sometimes it's just the littlest things in our life, and God says, hey, I'm right here, and I've got you covered. I got you back. In fact, I'm carrying you through because I have a plan for your life. You're going to read about that in the book Saved, and I know it'll lift you up in your life. So, Craig Thayer, the book is Saved. You can find all about it on our site. Also, my book is there, the third edition of Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. And again, the acrostic is faith. The word is faith, and the letters say, forsaking all, I trust him. When we get to that place and don't lean on what we know, but trust in what he says, all of a sudden our faith becomes authentic and productive and produces in our life his plan for our life. And that's when life becomes exciting. So Legitimate Faith, Saved. You want to check out our website, and we'll be sharing other books with you in the future as they become part of our team here. So there we find them in Dalton, Georgia. And if we all get together and head west, just like Horace Greeley said, go west, young man. If he was looking north when he was there, he would have said, go left, young man, because that would be left. And we would go through Alabama, Mississippi. We'd go through the top part of Louisiana. We'd come into the east side of Texas. And we would end up in the thriving metropolis of, you thought I was going to say Dallas, but actually it's McKinney. Because that's where one of our favorite pastors there is, Pastor Ron Greer. He's with Man in the Mirror. He's the counselor. He's done so many things serving the Lord in his life. And he's somebody that I know you really want to get to know also. Again, that's Ron Greer. He's in leadership with Man in the Mirror. Go on our website and you'll find all about him. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Slide down and you'll find there he is, the area director in McKinney for Man in the Mirror. I think they're out of Florida. They do a tremendous, tremendous work. Read about Ron. Read about this wonderful group of people that bless my life, bless Paul's life every week. And I know they're a blessing to your life. And I want you to get to know them, because I don't want anybody to miss a blessing. God's got so many for them, and many of them spur right from this wonderful group of people that you're meeting tonight. So as we look at all these and we think what's going on, by the way, one really quick announcement. Come on, Steph and Tank, tell us about those boys real quick. What happened in the water polo? Real quick.
New boys? Our youngest, no, the 10th in the country. But, you know, when you get in the very competitive, the line between being first and being 10 or being 15, it's actually really close. I would say it's a mental game at that point. And they all are capable. And then you see one team show up and then you see another one not. But it was a last of many. We've done almost 30 years of kids doing competitive sports. And this is the youngest of five. And we've had three play college. And so I held back tears, but I'm also happy because I don't have to travel to all these places that I don't really want to go to and sit in, you know what I mean?
That's great. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, bless
I thought you had an announcement about a new boy. Okay, sorry. I got
that's pretty exciting, huh, Ron?
No more.
I tried water polo one year when I had to take a class in college because I wouldn't transfer my work from the West Coast. They almost killed me, Tank. I mean, those guys said, well, you're a surfer from California. Can't you take this? I said, sure I can. That was the dumbest thing I said, I think, in Texas. They about drowned me at least 15 or 20 times. So I salute all of them. That's a tremendous sport.
Yes, absolutely. And
your dad's pretty good at it too, right? Hey, you're sitting
there. That is pretty good too. Not me. Not a swimmer. I need saving.
But it's it's just great conditioning for sure. If you're not, you can be on a two-day tournament and then It's not just skill, it's how well you're conditioned. Sounds like it's rough to watch sometimes. Some of these teams just explode because they just can't get down the poles fast anymore. They can't, it's tough. But
Somebody
that
told
gets
me the
over.
secret to get down the pool quick, where somebody's supposed to yell shark, right? And then
We did hear a lot of Jaws playing. Dun-na, dun-na.
Well, we're happy for you, proud of him, and that's just
Amen.
fantastic.
Thanks.
Speaking of proud, we've got some very special guests tonight, and you've been reading about her. I know I've got a lot of response back, and you could see some of those things that have been going on. She's a music teacher, theater arts teacher, so many different things rolled into one. I'm not going to take the time to read to you tonight what she does. The things that excite me about them are when I've watched the people that she teaches so often say so much about what she does. And I love at the end that I get really excited because every time she teaches, here's her number here, you simply find out that there's a faith in Jesus, a family values, and a parental love that comes out of her that just reaches moms and dads as well as kids from 5 to 85. It's a tremendous ministry and a tremendous talent she has in music. I don't think there's an instrument that there is that she can't play. So, when you play the guitar, you want to get in the corner and hide because she could play anything. But actually, that's exciting. I want to introduce to you Mrs. Robinson here, and this is Evelyn Robinson. And I just want to tell you, I'm so glad she's here. And I've got the first question in just a moment. And this is actually, yes, I'm real excited. This is my sister, and I'm real proud of her. So let's welcome with a round of applause. Welcome, Evelyn, to
Yay, sis.
Hi, how are y'all?
We're good. How are
A
you?
sister, but not he's not biased, all right? But he's still.
There you go. Got one question to just roll out there, Evelyn. I love the title you have in there. You all just saw it on the card, and then we'll just roll out there. Her motto is to awaken the artistry that is within. That means everybody's got artistry within. And so, Evelyn, maybe can you tell us a little bit about that and what that means and how you work with that, folks? And then let's just have a time with you and questions, whatever.
I just think a lot of folks have said to me, "Oh, I could never play piano, or I could never sing, or I couldn't play guitar." And it's kind of waken the artistry within is just to let them realize that it's what you do from the inside that comes out. And whether you're playing or singing, you can learn anything. I mean, I've often told kids that I have taught as young as 4 and 5 and 6 years old, and they look at a piece of music and they go, "I can't do that." And so I just simply say, "Well, okay, what's 2 plus 2?" And 4? Well, okay, what's 5 plus 5? 10? I said, "But somebody had to teach you that." So, and they look at me with the funniest look. I said, "So here's your hand. We're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5." Now, then I have my favorite one. Take a pencil and set it down and say, "Now you got to pick it up, but just use one finger." And you watch these kids go, "What?" And they so it's teaching them that the hand has to work together. When you're singing, it's the voice, it's the lungs, and it's the ab muscles that work together. And so artistry comes when you learn how to coordinate those things and you have fun while you're doing it. So I firmly believe that everybody can do that. Everybody's capable of creating. And a lot of people think, "Oh, I don't know. I just can't do anything. I can't do that." I've had students as young as 4, and my oldest one right now is 67. And she is just hilarious. She came to me, she goes, "I want to learn how to piano, but I have no idea how to do this." We've been working now for a couple of years, and she's starting to pick up and play things, and she's having fun. And again, that's the bottom line. With children, I often tell them, if this isn't fun, why are you doing it? I mean, how many of you had parents or people or know people say, "You have to take piano lessons, you have to take guitar, you have to do this because it's going to make you better, it's going to make you brilliant." That's the one that always gets me. Hey, I took all kinds of lessons. I'm not brilliant. Okay. It didn't work for me. So I always tell them, but I just love music, and I find it intriguing and I find it exciting. And so I try to portray that to the students that I have. And and let them enjoy it. And it's fun when they walk out the door and I'll say, "Are you still having fun?" And yeah, okay. Great. Because when it stops being fun, then it becomes a drudgery. And I just, that's the thing that I always try to bring out to parents is let them work at their speed. Some parents expect their child to be Mozart in 2 years, and it's like it doesn't work that way. They have to start somewhere. And so as they do, as you know, I am not the greatest piano player, and I've told parents that my major is voice. I've learned how to take voices apart and work with kids and help them to understand where their throat is, what their are, you know, what's going on in their throat, their voice, their sinuses, everything, and better their voice, because I believe that God gives people talents to use. And one of the things I put up on my pianos that's in my studios here, all of my kids read this, whether they know the Lord or not, it just simply says, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. So I have one of my students in particular that really took that to heart, and he's really going after it now. And he goes, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just want to do music, and I just want to serve the Lord. That's what I want to do. And I said, okay, we'll take it a step at a time and see where he goes. But he's getting pretty good. Anyway, artistry to me is something that is intrinsic. It's there. It's different levels. There are people that are amazing, like Beethoven and Mozart and these guys, but there are amazing people right now today that are just brilliant. And a lot of people don't know these people. They don't listen to them, and they're really wonderful. So I just try to tell the kids.
Ron, are you musical? I know you're a singer. Are you musical? Ron.
That's one of my questions, because you said everybody has this artistry inside, right? Now that you don't mean everybody can sing, but you mean there's something else there,
Let's
right?
put it this way. I do believe that just there's very few people that cannot sing. It's
Okay.
all in the
I've met
ear.
a number of them.
I've had students that have come, I want to be a singer, and you hit a note on the piano, they go, ah, I'm up here, ah, and they just don't hear it. So you have to start,
Okay.
okay. That's what my evaluation is. Okay, this one has to get some ear training first.
Okay. Well,
It
again,
works.
I have my biggest part of my biggest frustration, but biggest joy, and my wife's most irritating thing, I think, at times, is that there's always music in my head, 24/7, every day, all day. And it's
Amazing.
sometimes the most bizarre things, a commercial from the 1963. I don't know why it's there. I
There.
don't know what a jingle's there. But I started out, my parents forced me to take piano lessons, and it didn't work, but they it forced me. And now it's one of my biggest regrets is not taking the instrument. And lastly, I would say I have to say I'm jealous. I don't get people can play three or four instruments. It's just mind-boggling to me. And I get jealous they can
To
do
be a
it
music
all.
major, I had to learn them all. So I could play
Wow.
them all, not very well, but I could, you have to go through a class in string. So I learned how to play violin, viola, cello, and bass. And then, you have to go through your brass, so I learned trumpet, trombone, baritone, and tuba. That was fun. But, and then you have to go through them all, but I don't play them all. But I'm more of a percussion or a rhythm
Right.
person. Piano, guitar, bass, and drums. I love
Had a
rhythm.
teacher take the trombone away from me and told me go do something else.
Well, I was lucky when I was in college. I went to four different colleges, which was really weird. People, five actually, when
Whoa.
you do a master's degree, just because I kept transferring around. And a lot of people said, "Well, you didn't study with one person." And I said, "What?" But I did. I studied music, but I studied it with five different people, and I got all these different ideas. So that's all a part of what's inside of me. And my voice coach was actually my high school choir director, who I
Nice.
had 2 wonderful years with him in high school, and then I graduated and moved on. And 4 years later, I was had moved up to Fresno. The thing where you're pushing your cart through the store and you come around the corner and bump into somebody.
Yeah.
It happened. I mean, it came around the corner, boom, and I looked up and it was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing in Fresno? And come to find out, he had left the high school and had gone to Fresno Pacific University and said, what are you doing up here? And I said, well, I'm currently a junior over at Fresno State University. And he started talking. He said, why don't you come and sing with me again? And so I did. I transferred from my senior year back over, and I worked with him and really studied. I brought all these different thoughts and ideas of voice training. But he was always one that taught everything was to be relaxed and comfortable. And nothing, there's so many different theories of singing, you know, that are just crazy. But he was always one that really focused on relaxing and being your voice being natural when you sing and not forced or pushed. So I finished my and did my senior recital under him, and well, the rest is history. You know, the funny thing was, is I never, Joe asked me, when Joe and I were talking, and he said, well, Zevon, when did you feel God's call? And I said, I don't really remember God going, Evelyn, you're going to do this. I mean, it never happened
it's
that
God.
Way.
Yeah.
It's God. Yeah. It never really happened, but I will tell you one thing. I wanted to go to Hollywood and be a studio arranger. So I had studied composition first. So I was a vocal major, performance and composition and writing and arranging, and loved it. And then, you know, here I am at 20 years old, between my junior and senior year in college. And our church was doing, our dad was the minister of Christian Ed. And this was like Thursday before the following Monday when they were going to have vacation Bible school. And I babysat kids, and I'd worked as a camp counselor in between my years in college. So I love being with kids. But I was always told, don't be a teacher, you don't get paid well. Well, that's true. But anyway, my dad came to me because the person that was in charge of the music, they had had an emergency in their family. I think it was a death in the family, and they had to leave. And she said, Don, I can't do it. So my dad came into my room one night. It was Thursday. He said, I'm on. We really need something. Can you teach the Vacation Bible School music for the kids? What? You know, I was like, you typical 20-year-old. Seriously? I had so much fun with those kids. We did an entire musical in 1 week with part of what we were doing, and they put it on at the end of the week. And all I could think was, you really do get paid for this? So I, after a lot of praying, I changed my music major from composition performance to education. And I added another year of college, whoop-de-doo, because I had to go through and learn all the things to be an educator. But it was something I never regretted. You know, I've had friends that graduated college that went on to be big master conductors and things like this, and you see their names on. But I just loved being with the kids. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. And God has blessed my life immensely just having that opportunity to work with kids. I've been teaching for over 35 years, and in choirs, teaching choirs was probably one of the greatest things in my life. I think out here in California, where I taught at Forest Lake Christian School in Auburn, we'd have 250 kids up on the stage at Christmas from grade 7 through 12. And the first time I met these kids, I had 24 kids, 3 boys, 2 were tone deaf, and the rest were girls. And I'm thinking, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I where did we start? So girls are like, well, they're really nice, but they don't really sing well. And I thought they were kidding. They weren't. These guys just didn't know how. So we taught them. And I told the girls, I said, listen, you go out there. This is my first year here. You go get the boys, go get them, all your friends, your boyfriends, your pals, you know, so you go get them and I'll teach them how to sing and we'll go from there. And so because they had had a reputation of being the worst choir in the area, they'd go to their adjudications and everybody laughed at them. So
wow,
we went in 1 year, we went from 24 to 76 because they brought the football team, the soccer team, the basketball team. All these guys that these girls just dragged in there. And of course, the guys are like, oh, the girls are singing. Okay, I'll go. And they came. And I wound up with literally half and half guys and girls. And we started from there. And within 3 years, we were command performance winners at Forest Lake. And we did that every year that we were there. The last year that I was there, we had some of the best and greatest experiences of my life were teaching these kids and getting up and singing in front of an audience of 5,000-6,000 people. And being selected by the conductor would come in from major colleges. And I had one lean across the aisle once because it took about 5 to 8 minutes to get the entire 500 voice choir up there. And I was sitting across the aisle from our guest conductor before they introduced him. And he leaned over and he said, "I just wanted you to know," he said, "when you sang Eric Whitaker's Luke Sarunka," he said, "that was the finest high school performance I've ever heard. That's why I chose you to perform tonight." And he said, "You guys have been a blessing." Because my kids, I always used to tell them, "You guys, it's not about how good you are. It's how you come across and how you react and how you encourage other kids." And that particular year, we had another school that had done the same number as us for adjudication. And they didn't want to do it after we had done it. And they said, "You know, they're going to make fun of us." And the sad thing was, is that what really, really frustrated me is the adjudicator that year wasn't the greatest of all. But he said to group of kids when they were up there, "You know, you guys should have done it like that other choir." He said, "You guys did everything wrong." And I thought, and I thought to myself, "What are you doing? You're dealing with precious high school kids here. And you make that announcement." They were crushed. I was so proud of my kids, because my kids went and sat with them for dinners and lunches after that, and they worked with them, and they said at the end of the week, "We want them to do it again." So the guy, he did come back. He said, "Okay, you guys can sing," and they brought him back in, and my kids stood beside those kids and sang the same song with them, and the adjudicator came back and said, "You know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that." And I never even knew my kids were doing this, but they were so encouraging of these kids. And I got the sweetest letter from their director saying, "I didn't have to do a thing. Your kids just really ministered to my kids." And I didn't even know they were doing it at the time.
Amen.
So I felt so proud. I was so proud of those kids that they had done that. And we had some good years there. A lot of fun. We were invited to sing at Carnegie Hall and a few other things. And so that was an experience that was unbelievable. But it all came down to, to me, it was all about the heart of the child, the heart of the student. That's more important to me than how great a piano player they are, how great a singer they are. I don't care about that. I care about that person when someone else comes across their path. Did you make their day or break their day? I used to tell them that. That's the most important thing to do. And so music is a wonderful avenue. Sports is a wonderful avenue. My late husband was a tennis coach for years, and it was the same thing. You know, we'd sit there and actively watch kids cheat at tennis. And I'd be like, "Nah!" And my daughter was one that got rooked out of literally, even her friend, or the gal that she was playing, someone from her team said, "You can't keep calling them like this. They're obviously in and you're calling them out." And I said to my daughter, I said, "I was so mad. I wanted to just, you know," and my daughter said, "Oh, Mom, it's not a big deal. She just needed it more than me." And I thought,
when your child is ministering to you, right?
It's that was it.
Moments. And we've all had them where we go,
It's a wonderful
thing. It is wonderful. I would not necessarily consider myself musical, although I went to a private school where when you were in junior high, everyone was in choir and everyone chose a musical instrument.
Yeah.
And my parents also made me take piano early, and I loved singing with my mom. But it was one of the best things for me. I had a really good experience because everyone did it. So there was no like opt out or whatever.
Yeah.
And I've noticed raising our kids that they are all actually very musical and in really different ways. We have one constantly tapping the table. You have one that's singing like you were on everywhere. I actually tend to sing everywhere I go also. And so what would you say to parents that don't feel like they're musically inclined to encourage a child that maybe is or that wants to be? Like, what direction would you give a parent?
That's a very good question. And I think it comes down to the child too. You can watch a child. In fact, I'm working with one right now. He's 4 and his mother said he's always going to the piano and banging on the piano. And I think he wants to take lessons. So I said, "Okay, I'll tell you what, let's just try. Let's bring him over. Let's just try." And he's really cute, but his focusing wasn't there yet. And he would play what I asked him to do. Then it was like, just had a thing. So my response to her is, I said, let's try it and see how he does. And then we just ask them, let the child work for a couple. Yeah, I tell parents, I don't want to take your money if your child is not wanting to do this, because you're wasting your money and my time, and that could go to someone else. So I want to find those kids that really are interested in, and I don't care if they're learning, if they practice their little scale five minutes a day. I had one parent ask me, with her 6-year-old child, be practicing 30 minutes or 45 minutes or a day. And I just smiled and said, if you can get a 6-year-old to sit still for 45 minutes of practice, great. I'll tell you honestly, in my experience, it ain't going to happen. So I tell them, hey, you know what? Give them, say, okay, you want them to try to, I like to get them to try to practice 15s. So I'll tell the kids, hey, do this for 5 minutes. Practice your stuff for 5 minutes and then go play, go do something else. And then come back. Now I want you to practice the song that we're learning, practice the song. And I had one parent say to me, multiple have said, I never thought of that. And I said, well, put yourself in their shoes. They just got out of school all day and they don't want to sit for another half hour to practice something. So let them play with. And now I'm finding that those kids, it usually takes a good year or so to get them to that point. I had one dad call me in just panic because he was like, I can't get them to practice. And I told him this. And he said to me, it worked, because they would practice something for 5 minutes and then they'd go play and then they'd go do something else. And then they'd do their homework and then they'd practice another 5 minutes. And before long, that 5 minutes became 7 minutes, then 8 minutes, then 10 minutes. And then that became 30 minutes. And before you knew it, they were hooked. And they were playing. Those same kids that I had, there's twins. I started them and they were in fourth grade. They're now going into, or 4 years old, rather. They're going into fourth grade. They're 9. And they are both accomplished. I mean, they get up there for their first recital and they were just boom, 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 play their song, take their bow. Now they love it. And they're playing and they're enjoying it. And they're getting better. And that's the most important thing for me, is how can this be important in their life? How can they use this? Because music... I've even told parents, let them have summer off. Take a break. You know, I've got a little gal who's just came back today. She took 2 months off because she's a competitive soccer. She's 12. I mean, they push these kids and she's really worked hard. She's a good soccer player. But by the end of the school year, she was like this. And so she's asked her mom, can I just take a break? And I don't know if they'll ever come back, but she came back today. Her little sister was playing all summer and she came back and she played, and I, after watching her, I said, you know what I've noticed? Just in the way you played that piece today, you were so much more relaxed. Mm-hmm. You know, you weren't as tight. You were, you know, I always tell them, don't play like a T-Rex, like this, you know. Your hands were relaxed. You were just relaxed. And I said, that's probably the best I've ever heard you play that, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they just need a break. Take a month off. See if that, you know, is what they need. It's, for me, it's all about the student first. I mean, God will bring other students along in my life, but I'm more concerned with that child and how they're growing. And then when I see them grow, I have one boy that I started in fifth grade and he just went after music theory like crazy. And I converse with him now theoretically. I mean, I could talk about chords. What key are you in? What's the dominant? What's the major? What's the major chords, minor chords, list them. What's the diminished? How do you play those? And he'll spit it right back to me. His mom says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. But I said, but he does, yeah. You know. And he plays just so beautifully and enjoys it. And this is the young man that I said, I think I want to do this. He's 14 now, going into high school at Granite Bay, and he's back in choir singing. That's a joy for me, to see them growing and enjoying what they're doing. Because, again, if it's not fun, well, why are you going to do it?
Ev, that's a key. I want to jump in right there first. Sure. You know, this is more of the pastor type guy looking at it, but of course I love music too. But what I've noticed, and I watch the families that you work with, I watch moms and dads and others that come through, and I've observed sometimes I get to talk with them. And this seems to be now, more than I ever remember when we were younger, an opportunity that God's given you as a teacher of music that relates to the moms and the dads. in a way where it becomes something when there's a success where this child is excited to play all of a sudden, and the child begins to play and is proud of themselves, then the parent becomes proud of the child. The two become excited together, overcoming anything else of frustrations. As they become excited together, all of a sudden there becomes a family bonding that takes place. And I watch these families before, they never seemed to say much of anything. Now they talk to each other and they talk with you, and the kids jump in because they're glad to be part of the whole thing. Can you maybe relate just real quickly, as you've seen this? This builds a family. I didn't look at music quite this way, but it builds families in their relationship with their children and with Christ.
Well, music is the great healer too. I mean, why was it that David played his harp so much for Saul? How was he able to calm Saul? Was to play that music, and it got that Saul from that anger down to where he could calm down and relax. And I think music can do that for kids. I've told kids, you don't play for me. You play for yourself. God gives you that talent. Play for yourself. If you want to play for other people, that's fine too. But you begin to see the family get involved, and they become proud of their child when they do. I had a student a few years back when I was at Forest Lake. I was teaching him voice. In seventh grade, he would sit there like this in the choir. And I thought, okay, this is funny kid. But he was always had a temper, and he was angry all the time. And he played basketball, and he'd foul out, and the coaches were like, dude, you got to control. But he was just always like this. And one day in choir, I hear this voice coming out of the dice section. I thought, he's a bass. His voice has changed. And all these other guys are singing higher. I had boy sopranos. And then as I said, stay after, I want to talk to you. He was singing low. And he wouldn't sing because he was afraid it was low. Well, come to find it, he goes, there's more of us. Okay. How many? Who? And I got him in there, and I found out I had eight baritones that were seventh graders. And I began to, when he finally opened up and sang, I thought, this kid has got a beautiful voice, and he has no idea what he's doing. So we began working with him. And his mother said, what did you say to him? Because all of a sudden he doesn't want to play basketball anymore. And his dad was crushed. He's all right. And it was at that point that I realized he was playing basketball for the wrong reasons. It was for his dad, because his dad had been injured and couldn't play. And so anyway, we had our big thing, our big choir banquet, and my senior kids would always write the play, and they would do everything. And they asked him to sing Stars from Les Mis, and he was in ninth grade then, and his voice had changed. And I'd been working with him for a little bit, and was the neatest thing, because when he sang for the first time, in front of people by himself, and he sang, and he had this beautiful baritone voice, and his dad bawled, and he said, I've never knew that John could sing. I never knew that he liked this. And he goes, Dad, I love to sing. He threw his arms around his son. He says, I never knew that. Totally different child. I worked with him for 2 years. When I moved to Texas, he was going into his junior year. It was a sophomore year. He won the male soloist at ACSI. And I mean, he sang a song from Now Shines the Fullest Glory from The Creation by Haydn. He sang this. He was selected by a friend of mine who was teaching down at Sacramento State. And they invited this boy to come down and sing with the university choir because he has such a beautiful. We would have never known that with this kid sitting back here. I never would have known. And there, I have so many stories like that, that just, you just never know what's going on in a student's heart. And it,
Well,
like I said.
I want to interject to that story because I actually had a note to ask you about a significant story that came to mind, and you just naturally shared it. But
There's so many of
these young people in junior high too, there's so many body changes,
them.
hormonal
Exactly.
changes, whatever. And for the boys, it's the voice. For girls, we have other things going on, but that is a really hard time. And I even noticed in my husband that he has a deep voice, and he would often not want to sing around people because you hear it, right? And then over the years, he's become more comfortable singing. And so when I hear him singing at church, I'm like, it's just
Yeah,
kind of
you find
like,
that
I
they
love
may,
to sing.
I'm sure they hear it, they may feel it from
Oh, I can hear it, man. It's awesome.
But
It's great.
But
I'm
for you
very
to
technical.
inspire a young man that then
Yeah.
rippled to multiple of, no, this is this beautiful voice. Like, don't be intimidated that it's a change, you know?
Well, I have a
How
young man that I'm
beautiful.
working with. Actually, when I did my master's degree, you have to do your research paper and then your thesis and everything. And I thought, gosh, what do I want to write on? I don't want to write on something. And what am I writing on? What am I going to... I went around and around. Then I thought, you know what? What was the thing that bothered me the most when I was singing younger? I remember my junior high choir was all girls. And we had two boys, and they didn't want to sing, but they kind of went along because they were in there for the girls. I focused on that, and
Why
I
do you
thought,
think this one,
wait a
the
minute,
Catholic choir?
that's a plus. Get those boys
Amazing.
in
Hands
there.
up.
Ed Ron, guilty.
Yeah, it'll work. You get
And
those two wicked
you
girls, and I told the guys once, and
know.
I said, they smell better than the football players. They smell better, you know? So
Yeah,
anyway,
that's it.
I would drag them, you know, we got them in there, but I have a young man that I'm working with right now. He's a Rosh. And his family are, they've only been here for his first generation. He's the Russian, but he says he has this nice voice. But they first came in with his sister, and he was like, and I said, well, and I went worked with his sister so I could hear. And their mother was telling me, she said, they both like to sing. And I thought, he ain't singing. So I asked him, I said, Anthony, you want to sing for me? Okay. And I said, just relax. He goes, okay. I went, oh, okay. So he barely got through it, and it took a couple of lessons. And I finally realized, he says, I try to sing at church, and I think I'm lower than everybody else, and I don't know if I am or not. So I said, you play an instrument? Because everybody plays an instrument. He says, yes, I play trumpet. And I said, okay, trumpet's a treble instrument. It's way up there. And so he's trying to sing like he's hearing his
I just
instrument.
say,
I said, have you ever
Mr.
thought about maybe playing baritone or trombone? You know, no. I've 5 years I played it. Okay. I said, well, okay. Let me ask you a question. I said, is there any other instrument you want to play? And he goes, bass guitar.
Yeah, mom
I said,
loves
okay.
that.
You have a bass? He goes, I do. I said, okay. We got a bass. He brought it in. I started working with this young man back in April, and he would barely open his mouth. He would get up to, if you're musically inclined, you know, the A below middle C, which is the top bass line. He could barely get to that point without just saying, I can't sing any higher. I can't sing any higher. So we started working with the bass guitar, and all of a sudden I started playing the bass and trying to explain to him that the guitar is written in the treble clef, but it sounds an octave lower. Trumpet is written a treble clef, and it sounds exactly what's written. So it and he's trying to I could just see the wheels turning. To make a long story short, he started learning bass guitar. And so I said, now remember, this is the lowest note on the written page, okay, but the bass guitar is going to sound an octave lower. Now we're talking 5 steps from the bottom of the keyboard. And he and I could see the processing. So we began to work on going bug, and I started working on his head voice, getting his head voice down. Now all of a sudden, he hit that bass guitar note, and he hit that low E, which was what we call contrabass E2. And I said, "Now your guitar is an octave lower." And he goes, "Oh," and he sang it. And I went, "Dude, do that again." And he was like, "What? Did I do it right?" And I said, "Do it again. I want to hear that again," because guys can go into what we call fry tones, and that and they dip down below that last octave. And so I started him. We had now got into middle C, which is the middle piano. We started at middle C, and I just started going down. And he hit the next C, and he hit the contra C, which is 2 ledger lines below the staff. And then he kept going, and he came all the way down to that low E. I pulled the electric guitar out again. I plunked that low E, and he sang it. I said, dude, you just sang 3 octaves. He said, is that good? I'm going, yes, it's wonderful. I said, now, can you use your Mickey Mouse voice? Let's see how high you can go. And he sang 2 more E's higher. The kid sang 6 E's across the keyboard in his different voices. And this is my Maggie. Oh, she's my studio pup. I know.
Maggie.
My turn.
Yeah, and so I mean, to me, and I said, you have, Anthony, you have a gem. in your voice. You have a beautiful voice. And I played some Russian music by Rachmaninoff, which my choir had done, where we had a low A at the end. And he goes, he sang it. He just hit the note and sang it. And I said, do you realize at 15 how beautiful and wonderful that is? He goes, no, I no. Now he comes to lessons and he's so excited. He wanted to sing Bill Gaither. And he told me stories, and that just broke my heart when I hear this, because their family fought to get here. And he told me stories of his grandfather, and he said, we couldn't sing about God. He said, my grandfather told me they would go into the woods at night with a candle, and they would cover the candle, and they would read the Bible, and then they would pray and sing quietly. And they couldn't do anything else because they for fear. And he said, now they're just now starting to learn. And they think Bill Gaither is just the number one person right now. And so he sang Because He Lives for me. And it was beautiful. And I moved him, I had him sing Above All by Michael W. Smith. And I have him up now in the register where it's at. But it's incredible what this kid can do. And I look back on all the times when I kept thinking, I want to work with kids. How do I do that? But yet my master's paper, I actually wrote on the male adolescent changing voice because I wanted guys in the choir. And so I spent years researching this. Why do boys stop? And the biggest thing is not the voice, it's the fear of what the girls will say.
Yeah.
And so I used to make them take a pledge, dear ladies, we promise that we will do our best, even if our voice squeaks, cracks, or does stupid things. And the girls would giggle and laugh. And I'd make the girls, dear guys, we're so glad you're in choir. And we are so happy that you're here with us. And we will not laugh at you. But if you do something funny and you let us laugh, we'll laugh with you. And I make them take this pledge, and they giggle all the while they did it. But sure enough, the guys gained confidence to sing, and the girls were like, we got boys in our choir. And every time we would go, it was so funny. People would say, oh, here comes a voice like guys, because we always had a good amount of guys in our choir. But I love that. I should tell the girls, be patient, be loving, don't make fun of them. Let me work with them. I said, girls, if you just trust me, we get to high school, they get to high school, and you're gonna have incredible amounts of guys, you see, because
See,
girls.
wives, the same advice to the wives are: be patient, don't laugh at them. That's very good, Evelyn.
You have to love
Well, there's
So, I
kind of a
mean, for
word
real.
out there too that I'm not going to. We're going to chase that one because we're running out of time, basically. But she used to arm wrestle the guys, and that's how she got them into the choir. It was the arm wrestle on the top and stomp on their toes to the table, and then she put them down. And they, oh, you did want to sing in the choir. That was
Or
kind
I'd
of
kid with
the
them, and
design
I
version.
when they do, and I would just kid with them.
Yeah.
They have to kid with them.
That's right. Since we had to take a quick break, I can't call you that. We're on the air. Mrs. Robinson, we're going to take a quick
Yes.
break here. Yeah. Steph, could you give us a word up? We've had some great notes. We had somebody ask, what was that lady saying again? That was you. I said, that was me. So she's home. Don't worry. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We love that you hang out with us each week, and you can go check everything out, all the information at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. It's kind of your one-stop shop for everything. At the top there, you can make a donation. We always love those because it takes money to be on the air. As you scroll down, you'll see that we have show recordings. You can listen. We have phenomenal guests. The Lord has really blessed this show. And if you keep going down, you'll see information about each one of us as co-hosts. We'd love to connect with you guys. Please give feedback. Pastor Joe looks at all of that. We really are grateful when you guys reach out to us. And I think if you keep going, you'll get Pastor Joe and Craig's book. And so we just thank you for hanging out with us, for engaging each week, for sharing the show with other people. So, Paul, I want to kick it to you because we have 3 minutes and you have not talked. And so you need to say something.
Okay,
Always
I'd
wise.
be happy to. Ron, I was in my car one time, and my daughter was about 6 years old in the back seat, and we were coming home, and I had some music on. It was a black choir, and I think generally speaking, black choirs out sing white choirs. And so I just made this statement. I just asked a question out loud. I said, I wonder why black choirs tend to outsing white choirs. And my little 6-year-old daughter says, because they want to, and they're not afraid. And I thought, bingo, you know, I mean,
Because they want to.
My son's a musician, and back in the 80s, when Christian music was really making kind of a big major turn on what was going on, there was a group called Petra, and my son used to listen to Petra all the time, and that kind of struck an unsightly chord with me, because I wasn't, that's just not where my head was. And one day he sat me down, bless his little heart, and he said, Dad, he said, I know you don't appreciate Petra, but I want you to listen to this song. And I listened to it, and he said, did you hear that? And I said, did I hear what? Because mostly to me, it was, and kind of says, okay, we're going to do it again. And he played it again, and he pointed out something. He says, do you hear what's going on in the background? Do you hear that? And I had to tune myself to hear what was going on. And I think sometimes with music, and a question to Tank. Tank, do you listen to music when you operate?
I don't have control over it because my hands are sterile with the anesthesiologist.
Always they listen to music.
But I just did a really quick thing about this, and I won't take up any time. But when we talk about music, it affects our emotions, our memory, our cognitive function, our pain perception, our mood regulation, our heart rate, our physical activity, our pain tolerance, and our motor response. It touches every part
of your body.
Yeah, and I think we just miss that sometimes.
Your heart beats to a rhythm.
Yeah. So I think it's really cool.
On top of all that, I keep reading throughout scripture from the beginning to the end. There's this strong indication that there's music and worship through music and loud music in heaven, and it's going to be there. So I told people who don't like music, you're going to be really, really miserable in heaven.
Party up there, okay?
so it has to be important. You know why in the world does scripture always talk about it?
I heard of a vocal coach who said to one of her students. She said, you know, I play on the black keys, I play on the white keys, and you still manage to sing in the cracks. So, you know, I don't know how to deal with that.
That's just a tuning issue.
Classic me, you know, I just groove to the 1, 2, 3, and 4 beat. I don't go 1, 2, 3, or 2, and 4. I just do them all.
Hey, one quick note that a friend of mine who's a national gospel singer showed me once, and then he did it we started looking at the difference between black Southern black gospel and regular Christian music. Mm-hmm. And black gospel, the old gospel, it's all on the black keys, not on the white keys.
Right. Yeah.
I thought it sounded far fetched until he showed me a number of songs ago.
Right. Yeah. They use a lot of the flat keys. Yeah.
He said that's the difference between European music and what was essentially African Southern music. Yeah,
well, you know, your Asian music uses a quarter tone. Chinese uses a quarter tone too, which is some people sing that way. No, because we use half steps, they'll use a quarter steps.
We got 30 seconds, guys. So actually, but that's okay. What we're going to do next time, we'll just look at all these great questions. Wow, it's an avalanche. They're great questions. So we'll get more of them next time. Hey, thanks, Evelyn. Thanks so much. That was great. Sure appreciated that. That was good. Yeah. So next week, we're going to open the show with all of us singing together some Bill Gates song, bringing it right, Ron. There we go. So
Ron's got to lead.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in tonight. TJ, thanks for taking care of our show. Steph, thanks for your sharing your heart with us about who we are and everything. Everybody here, love you and appreciate you. We'll see you next week. May the next 4 days see things happen that God works in your life you never would have thought about. And remember, when you get up tomorrow, start the day with a song.
Song.
Good one. There you go. Your heart.
Hey, that's it. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody. Love and appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.